that we are on page Shin Ayin Hei, if anyone needs to have more over here. We're at number 26, which is Tfira, stitching. So we've been working our way through treatments for various conditions in a patient who's not life and death ill. And now he has a series of comments regarding stitches. So first of all, in 26, he explains what the problem is with stitching. Isuro, the prohibition. Chibur kitzvot chatach al yedei tfiraso. Number 26.
Okay.
Joining the edges of a cut by stitching them. Yeshbo mishum safek isur deoraisa. That might be considered a biblical prohibition. It's the tying, you know, with the thread that you're doing. So it's only going to be allowed if you have somebody who is dangerously ill. Can you give me an example? He says, yeah. Let's say it's a very deep laceration, and there's a concern for infection. So you want to prevent that by keeping the dirt out, by stitching the thing closed. Or if the patient is bleeding, and it's a type of bleeding which pressure alone is not going to halt, so you need to stitch it closed. Those are cases he gives of cholesh yeshbo sakana. Now, obviously, there are degrees, meaning the fact that it's not, you know, the bleeding is ongoing doesn't necessarily mean the person is going to exsanguinate. I think, you know, to a certain extent, it depends how much time there is till Shabbos is over. It depends on, like, you know, where the cut is and so forth. Meidach, on the other hand, muter lechaber kol chatach acher im plaster. Mechutach mivod yom. Parpar odevek miyuchad. He says, on the other hand, if you have some other type of a cut that doesn't need stitches, but rather you use a plaster, which we saw last time as a band-aid, which is cut beforehand, and that was a separate discussion, or a parpar, which is a
butterfly.
There you go. Odevek miyuchad, or a special, you know, surgical glue, that sort of thing. So, in terms of the question in general of, is there such an issue of stitching when you're dealing with human skin? In other words, should this be called stitching at all? So I brought on the sheets, I brought you a few sources to look at. The first one is from Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, a Ha'arai footnote, where he says, De'ein les or mishum tofer shemekarevet hashulayim zelazeh, sherei lo matzanu iser tofer begufa adam. He says, joining... Well, let me say actually what this, there's sort of a subtext that comes before this, which is that in general, stitching does not only mean sewing. Stitching includes any time I join two materials together with a permanent attachment. So we talked about that last time in terms of the Band-Aid. If the Band-Aid goes, you know, circles the finger and closes on itself. So you're actually stitching, so to speak, the ends of the Band-Aid together. As opposed to if you stick it to skin, which is not a problem of stitching. So the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa says, just putting two parts of skin together is not going to be called tofer. Two ends of the Band-Aid will be. Two pieces of material, but two segments of skin is not going to be called tofer. He says, "Lo matzanu iser tofer begufa adam." He says, "We don't know of any such thing that stitching should include human flesh. That's not a problem." And on that, I brought you the Nishmas Avram in source base. This is Nishmas Avram from Simon Shin Mem, quite a bit ahead of where we are right now. So he writes, "Nira, it appears." He says, just like if you take two pieces of paper and you stick them together, or two thin pieces of wood, and you want to make them into a thicker piece of wood, so you join them together, that's tofer, that's stitching. So he says the same thing really should apply to stitching human flesh, wanting it to remain together, because he says then there would be a concern for a tofer. Ve'av demasha hatfura miskayemes hurak mbeisha achar kach misrape v'nase me'elav, mikol makom ha'adam harei tofer kedarko umlachto miskayemes. He says, it's true that what's going to make it stick long term is the healing of the skin. It's not as though your stitch is a permanent stitch. It's that the skin itself is going to heal. Nonetheless, you are stitching normally, and your malacha is going to remain. So it sounds like what he is saying here is against what the Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa is saying. Now, the Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa is saying it's not called stitching. The Nishmas Avram sounds like he's saying that it is called stitching. I brought in my notes. I didn't bring it on the sheet. Rav Ribiat. Rav Ribiat was the author of a great four-volume set called The 39 Malachos, in which he goes through each of the malachos, explains what's really at the core of each one, and shows you all the different applications. It's not a medical thing. It's a general thing. But he says, I will prove to you that stitching is not relevant. When we go through the discussion about what's wrong with tearing one's skin on Shabbos? Let's say you have cuticles that are a little frayed, and you want to just pull off the skin. So we say you're not supposed to do that. So no one raises the issue there of tofer stitching and of tearing stitches by tearing the skin. So he says clearly it's not tofer is not relevant to human skin. That's the argument that he brings, which is like the Shmir Shabbos Kelchas's position. Okay. So what we're saying is, and what should emerge, is that the act of joining two pieces of skin is not a problem, but sewing, in order to do it, is a problem. That's what we're trying to get across. So take a look now at 27, where he deals with the case of the cholesha in Bosakana. What do we do with a patient who's not dangerously ill? What can we do for him? Lachain, he says, therefore, Bechola She'ein Bo Sakana, which is a great acronym. Bechola She'ein Bo Sakana. Kasher etzlo muter lav ral isurei derabanan. Such that you would be allowed to violate a rabbinic prohibition on his behalf. Tzrichim lasos hakol lelo isurei Torah. Karaoi. So you do everything short of biblical prohibitions as is needed. And he adds a key note here. Gam lahakpid shelo lahashir shum pegam biyofi shel haadam. You should also make sure not to leave any defect in the beauty of the human being. You want to make sure that he's going to look nice. Now, that leads to a major, major question. I thought it was actually going to come up further along. Yeah, you know what? It's going to come up further along, so I'm not going to say it here. But the question that you're going to have to ask is, are you telling me that I am allowed to stitch in a way that will make it more aesthetically pleasing, even if that means doing more stitching for someone who is not dangerously ill? If you believe this is a biblical prohibition, by what right do you do that?
So yeah. I misunderstood what the part about using something like glue. So glue is joining the edges together, but it's not sewing.
Correct.
So what about staples?
So staples ostensibly are the same thing.
Same as glue.
They should be just as fine, yeah. I would think so. Yeah, and we're not going to call it an act of building anymore than we call it an act of stitching. So,
It's joining together.
It's joining together, but you're allowed to join them together. Right. It's only the manner of stitching that's a problem. The staple fundamentally doesn't in any way mirror what's going on with the stitch. I mean, it does in the sense that you bring two things together, but that we're okay with. Right, there's no knot. I mean, you're going to see later on, he's going to say, there's nothing wrong. Well, let him say what he's going to say later on. Let me not jump the gun. What he's saying right now, though, in terms of preserving the beauty of the patient, if you take a look in footnote 76 at the bottom of the page, he says, Lemashal, for example, in terms of what you would be allowed to do, Levakesh me rofei akum litfor atachatach. You could ask a non-Jewish doctor to be the one to stitch him up, because that's only a rabbinic prohibition. B'makom sherofei Yehudi yishtamish rak beplaster sheyachol legrom litzalaket lo yafa. As opposed to if it's a Jewish doctor, he's going to use a bandage, and it won't look as nice. So this way, you have the option of the non-Jewish doctor. But again, we're going to come back to this. Number 28, he goes back to the Cholashi Yesh Bo Sakana, the patient who is dangerously ill. Me'idach, on the other hand, Cholashi Yesh Bo Sakana, if you have a patient who's dangerously ill, L'mashal, Nikta'a Yado Etzba'o, let's say his hand or his finger was cut off. So here you're dealing with somebody who is dangerously ill at the moment, in the sense that if we don't treat this boy, is he going to have a problem? So he says it's possible to contend that you'd be allowed to join these ends on Shabbos. Because you have to do this anyway in order to avoid infection. So I am keeping him from infection in a way that's also going to rejoin his finger. You have a patient who's dangerously ill. The general rule, which you saw a couple of years ago in the first version of this series, is you treat somebody in the way you would treat them during the week. So the way you would treat them during the week is that you would reattach the finger. That will be your means of treating him. So that's what you're going to do now also. Because the act of rejoining the finger is meant to prevent danger. You follow what he's navigating here? You could technically get him out of danger without reattaching the finger. You could, tourniquet or whatever you have to do. Reattaching the finger is not the only way to close off this blood flow. However, since reattaching the finger is a way of treating the danger, and it's the normal way that you would treat such a wound if it was Tuesday instead of Shabbos, that's what you would do. So, therefore, he says it's okay. And even though, by doing this, you're going to increase the number of malachos you perform, doesn't matter, everything he's doing is life-saving. And then he says the comment that I was looking for. Mutter be'ez tfiras petza mesukan lo sif tfarim kedei lekabel tzaleket yafa yoter. He says when you're dealing with a dangerously ill patient, the non-dangerously ill patient, you're not allowed to stitch in the first place. Right? You call the non-Jewish doctor and he takes care of it. But the one who's dangerously ill, so while you're stitching him up, you're allowed lahosif tfarim, to add stitches, kedei lekabel tzaleket yafa yoter, in order to get a better scar. In other words, to create a scar that will not terribly ugly. That's the idea. So the question is, on what basis did he just allow that? That's a bizarre permission. You're telling me that you're allowed to add stitches solely for aesthetic purposes. So take a look at the Nishmas Avram on your side sheets, where it gives you Shlomo Zalman's argument. And I have to say that it's a difficult argument. If I didn't know it was Shlomo Zalman writing this, I would say it was somebody who painted the target, around the arrow. Because imagine the person comes into the OR, right, and they're bleeding profusely, and you say, well, because it's Shabbos, I'm only going to give you 5 stitches, and therefore you're going to have a scar on your face for the rest of your life, right? What am I supposed to do? So look at what he quotes from Shlomo Zalman. It's in Dalet on your sheets. I should have made it Gimel. Gimel belongs after Dalet. Nonetheless. What happens if somebody is wounded on Shabbos? He needs the stitching because of the danger. And 5 stitches would do it to eliminate the danger. But then he would have an unsightly scar. On the other hand, if there would be 7 stitches, then it would look nicer. So Dilechora ema husif tefiro l'shem noy. He says, you know, and my first gut, my gut answer is no, you can't add stitches for the sake of beautification. Vein hevdel bein tefira meikara ubein osafat tefiro l'shem noy. There will be no difference between just general stitching when there's no danger and deciding I'm going to stitch the guy, and adding stitches for the sake of aesthetics. Shishneim asurim b'shabbos, both are asur on Shabbos. Ad kan devarav. That was the end of his first response. But then he wrote back to me and he said, wait, not so fast. There is room for further discussion. It appears further to me the following. When you're dealing with a bris milah case on Shabbos, so there's the core mitzvah of bris milah, the basic cut, and then there are things called tzitzin, fragments of skin, for which you wouldn't have to go back. If you finish the act of bris milah, they're not requirements for it. And the question is, during the week, say you did the proper cut, you can go back and cut the rest. Why not? What would you do on Shabbos? So he writes, the rule is, the dekamo b'milah calls man shalo piresh, as long as he hasn't stopped, as long as he hasn't, you know, put his tools away, so to speak. Shabir mullin gam b'shabbos. He's allowed to do the bris on Shabbos. V'chozrin gam al tzitzin she'en ma'akvin es hamila. And he will go back and cut off the segments of skin that aren't ma'akev, that aren't firm requirements for this. Why? Mishum taima dehisna'el afanav b'mitzvos. Because we have a principle of doing mitzvos beautifully. This is considered to be the perfect form of the mitzvah. Kach gam kan. So the same thing is true here. Kemosha Shabbos nidcha mipnei hatzala misakana. Shabbos is overridden for the sake of saving the guy from danger. Kach mutar gam ligmor es asher heichel. He's allowed to finish that which he started. Ulhatzilas haadam mimum, to save him from a defect asher yizbayesh v'yitzda'er mizeh kol yamav, which would cause him great embarrassment and pain his whole life. Ukemosha zeh sham kigmar hamila, just like with the bris, that's considered to be completion of the act of bris milah. Kach gam kan, haynu nami gemar hatzalas ha'adam. This is completion of saving the person. V'lo mistaver l'chalek ben hutra l'dechuya. We won't make any distinction between Shabbos being overridden entirely or just being pushed off and so forth. It's a remarkable argument, no? I would not have expected that. And he says, see the Rashash's comment on the Gemara in Yuma Pei Dalet. Yuma Pei Dalet is the key discussion about saving lives on Shabbos. The case there that he's talking about, I added the bracketed words. There's a person who needs two activities, two actions in order to heal him. And really, you could do just one of them on Shabbos. And then the next one could wait till after Shabbos. As long as you do the first one on Shabbos, the second one can wait. Shematir afilu la'achar shekvar piresh. So the Rashash says that even having done the first and having stopped treating, you can go back and do the second one on Shabbos, even though it theoretically, you know, could have waited. Mitam da ha'olu kvar nita nachal alaves ha'Shabbos, because once we are already allowed to break Shabbos for this patient, Amrina, and we say mali pamachas mali beis pa'amim. What's the difference? Once, twice. Is that true? Can we do that? The kasafti b'shmir Shabbos kehilchasa, and he says I wrote in shmir Shabbos kehilchasa perk mem ha'arav beis. Shein lismoch bazel dvarav gam beisurei tare. He says, we wouldn't really rely on this Rashash if we're dealing with biblical prohibitions. Mikomakum below piresh, but if he hasn't stopped, he's still engaged in the act as he is, he's stitching. Vehu gmar ha-hatzala, and that is the completion of saving the person. Shapir chashuv kigmar mitzvah, that's considered the completion of the mitzvah. Va'ayim ba'avnei nezer shekasef unami hachi gam le yimitzitza. See the Ari Nezer regarding mitzitza, which is a whole other discussion that we're not going into. V'nosef lazeh, and he says, in addition to this, gam ra'isi sherabim sovrim deleka klal yisur tara b'tfirsha b'gufa adam. He says, I might point out that there are those, and he says many, who argue that stitching doesn't apply regarding human skin, even when you're using actual stitches. I happen to think that they're wrong. I think you do have to be concerned about that.
He
He says, even if you'll argue that, you know, after Shabbos I can pull out the stitches, nonetheless, it was a durable stitch. But my argument will be that since this is just completion of the act of saving him, that's good enough.
So that just raises the question. So the fact that these stitches are not necessarily, they're not permanent. They're going to dissolve, or you're going to take them out.
See, he doesn't
We thought about that before, that it being permanent or not permanent.
Right.
So these are never permanent.
So that you're going to take them out doesn't help you. In the same way that if I write with a pen and then I say, well, I'm going to come back and cross it out later, that doesn't help me. The question of dissolving stitches is one he's not dealing with here. How quickly do dissolving stitches dissolve?
Depends on what they're made out of.
What's the shortest?
In a few days.
So we generally...
Not 2 days, but yeah.
We generally work with 24 hours or the duration of Shabbos.
No, they won't dissolve that fast.
Yeah. And there are some differences of opinion regarding duration, but that...
falls out less than a week later for...
But yeah, this
mouth,
is what he says.
In 2 hours.
He has one more argument to bring. Va'od hosif li hagon zat sam b'zeh lashon. Rav Shlomo Zalman then added one more point. He said, Va'efshar shagam zat taloi b'meshakasav ha-magid mishnah. He says, it also may depend on what the Magid Mishnah wrote. D'choma sheregilim lasos l'chol l'sheyesh bo sakana b'chol osim gam b'shavas. He said, everything that we normally do for a patient who is in danger during the week, we do on Shabbos, even if there would be no danger in withholding that particular element. So in other words, the patient comes into the ER and is dangerously ill. So among the things that we do is we'll take their temperature every 15 minutes or whatever vital sign readings we're doing, which you'll argue... we can tell what's going on with the patient. We don't really need it. It's just protocol. But the answer is you do it anyway. This is the way you treat a patient in this particular condition. That's part of saving the chol hashiyesh bo sakana. So he says, maybe that's an argument as well here. This is what we do. This is the procedure for a patient with such a wound. And on that basis, it'll be okay. I should also note, he didn't mention it here. He did not mention it here, but I think there is another factor involved, potentially, although the fact that he doesn't mention it makes me wonder. But why not make the following argument? When you do the stitches, right, so, you put it through one time, twice, three times, four times, five times, and then you do another two, it's still only one knot at the end. Do we view this as a single act, and it's just that you went longer before you did it, and maybe that argument could be made, but maybe not, because we do count stitches in halacha. We distinguish between making one stitch and making two stitches.
But is it the knot that makes the difference, or entering and exiting?
Right, so that's the thing. I think it's the entering and exiting. I think that's why what I'm suggesting doesn't work. I think it's the entering and exiting. The knot will be its own problem, in addition. Because tying is a problem too, and because it makes these stitches, that's what makes them durable. Otherwise, they would just come out. Yeah. Okay. Back in the Nishmas Avram, number 29. Yeah.
Kishmir Shabbos. So when he says it, because there's no stitching in a human being, but if you're doing the act of stitching, does it matter?
Right. He's not talking about the issue that we're talking about with tying at that stage. He's saying the fact that you take two pieces of skin and attach them to each other, which you can do without threads,
right,
is not in of itself an act of tofer. Even though if I took two pieces of paper and I glued them together, that would be tofer. Gluing two pieces of skin together would not be tofer.
But he's not talking about stitches here.
No, not in olive. I feel bad. I should have brought more of it. I think I stinted on it because I was when you do Shemir Sabbath Pilchasa, you don't cut and paste it. You have to actually retype it. So I didn't bring as much as I should have. But yeah, if I remember correctly, that's what he's talking about. Right. Number 29. By the way, I should mention, Rabbi Strauchler and I exchanged emails today about March 7th that we might have. It's two Monday nights from now. We might have a special program on the new assisted suicide law. Assuming it's actually going to be clarified sometime between now and then, which Maybe.
Just the thing that just Jefferson.
It's been going around. Oh, that Jefferson's laying out for 2 weeks from now? Oh, because that I haven't seen yet.
Discuss it.
Oh. But yeah, it's...
most of us were like, so I have no problem. Like, most of us are unconflicted, I think, on where we stand.
One of the big questions that's kind of come up is the issue of referral. Because it is likely that it will be expected that people will refer people. And the question is, am I allowed to do that? So that's at least one big question that's going to have to be addressed.
There's no class next week?
No class next week. No, I'm going into New York for recruiting for the call offer next year. So wish me luck. Okay. Number 29. Tefiras Mace.
Just don't fly with my son.
Yeah. Tefiras Mace. Stitching up a corpse. Cholesh Mace Bemt. Yeah. A corpse. Someone dies during surgery. Now what do you do? Right? I mean, that's a question. Apparently. So he says, Cholesh Mace Bemt and he took the Shabbos. Someone dies during surgery on Shabbos. Usur lit for is makom hanituach. So he says, you're not allowed to stitch up the place, you know, the site of the surgery. Im nifta halal haguf. Kigon habeten o echozeh. If part of the body is opened up, the belly, the chest, whatever, mutar lahachnis letocho chatichos gedolos shel tzemer gefen kedei limnoa yitzias evarim pnimiyim. He says you can stuff it with cotton in order to keep the body parts inside. Ukedeshi yisafeg hadam v'lo yishafech mechutz leguf beis tiltol hagufa mecheder anituach lecheder amesim, in order to keep things inside and also to absorb the blood, so that it won't spill out of the body when they have to move the body to the morgue. So that will be allowed. In general, we don't like doing this with cotton. So the issue is nivul hames. You want to avoid degradation of the body, and that's an imperative in its own right. Mutter levakesh merofei akum sheyidfor sachatach. You can ask a non-Jewish doctor. That's a derabbanan, and again, justified for the sake of the honor of the body. What if you don't have someone who isn't Jewish available to do this? So a Jewish doctor could do it in an unusual way. Do it lefty. At this point, you have to worry about leaving a scar. So he says, do it lefty. Tfirot rechavot utfirot achas lamala veachas lamata. Do broad stitches as opposed to the close ones that would normally be done. And you do one above and one below. And the idea there, I brought it for you, this is what I brought for you as gimel on the sheet, is that this is considered to be an amateur form of stitching. It's brought in terms of a discussion as someone who needs a garment on Chol HaMoed. And the problem that this is craftsmanship that shouldn't really be done on Chol HaMoed. So he talks about it, getting an experienced craftsman to do it like an inexperienced person would do it, and doing the stitches with large gaps in them. That's the one above and one below idea. That's the that was that source. Okay. Good. He now is ready to conclude this simon of Shin Chaval 321. But he has another stab, so to speak, at the discussion of taking medication on Shabbos that you started taking before Shabbos. Remember that we've already seen three different justifications for continuing medication. One justification was the justification of, if you started before Shabbos, that means you have the medicine already. That was the Shlomo Kluger's point, along with the idea that where it involves cooking as opposed to grinding up, he also mentioned that we're not really going to cook on Shabbos. Second was the argument of Rav Moshe, that it's going to agitate you. If you don't take the medicine, you'll be very upset, and that's bad for your health on Shabbos. And then Rav Shlomo Zalman, who said that the heter is where it will be dangerous because you would relapse, and that would be bad for you. So even though right now you're not in that condition, it would be harmful for you. So all of that came from a Gemara in Shabbos, which was the basis for this halacha in Shulchan Aruch. So let's take a look at the Gemara. It's in source Hay on your sheet. Mishnah. You don't soak chiltis. Chiltis is asafotida, which was a medicinal herb that was used. It's very, very spicy, very, very sharp. Like no one ever wants to eat this stuff. It's considered to be like dangerously sharp tasting. But it was used as a medicine. And he says, you're not allowed to soak it in lukewarm water, which is the normal way to prepare it. However, you can put it into vinegar, and then there's a whole discussion of what else you do. So the Gemara on that says the following. Rav Acha bar Yosef chash b'yukra deliba. Rav Acha bar Yosef had a heavy heart. Heavy heart is usually understood to be a dangerous condition. They're describing some kind of dangerous condition. I don't know, heart attack, whatever else, but look up Julius Preuss and others and they'll tell you what this was. But Asla kameh de Marokva, he comes to Marokva, Amar Lay, and Marokva prescribes, Zil shasi tlasa tikli chiltasa betlasa yomi. This isn't Shabbos. He says to him, take 3 measures of chiltis on 3 days. In other words, 1 measure per day. So lo and behold, this happened to him on Thursday. So he takes the dose on Thursday, takes the dose on Friday. So that morning he goes to the base medrash to ask, what do I do? It's going to be Shabbos. Amrulay, they told him, Tana Deve Rav Ada, it was learned in the yeshiva Rav Ada, Amrulay Tana Deve Marba Rav Ada, Shosa Adam Kavo Kabayim Veina Choshesh. The answer given was, he can drink a unit of it, he can drink 2 units of it, no problem. So he answered, my problem wasn't whether I can drink it, my problem is whether I can prepare it. Amar lo, he said to them, Lishtos lokum abayili. Drinking it wasn't my question. He kam abayili lishros mai. My question is, what about soaking this stuff? So Amar lohu Rav Chiya bar Avin replies, Bididi hava uvda. I had a case like this. Vasai she'ilde l'Rav Ada bar Ava. I asked Rav Ada bar Ava whether I could prepare this on Shabbos. The concern in preparing it is what's called uvda d'chol. It's a weekday type of an activity, which is biblically/rabbinically prohibited. I don't want to go there. But he says, I asked Rav Ada bar Ava, v'lohava b'yada. He didn't have an answer. Asoy shilte l'Rav Huna. I went and asked Rav Huna. V'amar, and he said, hachi kiyama. Rav, so says Rav, shora bitsoni numaniach b'chama. Don't do it normally. Normally, you would soak it in lukewarm water. So what I want you to do is soak it in cold water, but then leave it out in the sun to warm up. So you're doing it just in an unusual way. So I added in the words of the brackets to make this read smoother. Ra kamandashari listros pitzoni dahainu rabiosi lehel begamar. There was a previous discussion, that's why it skipped with the 3 dots, about whether you're allowed to soak it in cold water and so forth. And the question is, when you are allowing him to do this, is that only within the view earlier that said you're allowed to soak it in cold water? The fact that he took it the last 2 days isn't the factor? In other words, this is your ruling. You're following that view in particular. To which he says, no, afil amanda asar. Even within the view that prohibited before and said you're not allowed to soak it in cold water, hanimili hecha delo ishti klal. That's where the patient hasn't taken any before. Aval hacha, but here, kevan de ishti chamshu amale shamsa, since he drank it on Thursday and he drank it on Friday, ilo shasi b'shabbos mistachan. If he doesn't drink it on Shabbos, he will indeed be endangered. So let me rephrase what we've just said, because I want to make sure that we're clear, make sure that I'm clear. The initial case is that he has this yokra deliba, this heart something or other. I'm going to assume, based on what we said in the end of the Gemara, that in and of itself is not necessarily considered to be a life and death threat. And therefore, what we're saying is, soaking it is not allowed, soaking it straight in the lukewarm water. And we don't even want people to soak it in cold water and then warm it up in the sun. However, if a person started taking doses on Thursday and Friday, then we will allow him to do this for Shabbos, because if he doesn't, he'll be in danger. We would allow him to do this, soak it in cold water, and then warm it up. Are you clear with what I just said? Because then you should have a question. Again, what he said is this. If a yokra deliba is not a dangerous condition, not a life and death condition, okay? So therefore, he wouldn't tell you to soak this thing on Shabbos. However, if the person took it on Thursday and Friday, he's in danger now if he doesn't take it again. So therefore, soak it in cold water and let it be warmed up in the sun.
But he was never in danger. So you're saying, I mean, I assume he could do it because he'd already started it.
No, no, no. What he's saying is, because if you miss this dose, it's dangerous. This is a unique type of medication. If you take the medication, you take two doses and not the third, you're in danger. But what's the problem here? If your life is in danger, then why are you soaking it in cold water and then warming it up? Do it the normal way. What are you talking about? Either you're not in danger, in which case none of this is okay, or you are in danger, in which case this is all fine. Just do it the regular way. That's the problem with this Gemara. But we need to see two other Gemaras before we can get into his solution. Source Vav. Tanya, Braisa says, Rabbi Marinus Omer, Goneach Yonek Chalav Bishavas. Rabbi Marinus says, one who is Goneach, Goneach literally is some kind of a groaning or moaning, it reflects some kind of an illness. He's allowed to nurse on Shabbos. He could nurse milk on Shabbos. My time, or why? Yonek mefarek kilaachar yad uvmakom tzara lo gazer abanon. He's going to drink from the animal, is what we're talking about. So what we say is that that technically preparing the udder in order for the milk to emerge is an act called mefarek, and it's not allowed on Shabbos. But doing it in the act of drinking from the udder is an unusual way to perform the act of mifarek, and therefore, in a case of pain, we'll let him do it. That's my second Gemara. It's not going to make any sense in terms of the connection until we see where he's going with this in the Nishmas Avram. But that's our second Gemara. And then our third Gemara is the Gemara Nivamos, Sor Zion. Abashol Omer. Abashol said, Noagin Hayinu, our practice was, Sheyonkim mi behema tahara biyom tov. We used to drink milk from kosher animals on Yom Tov. We wanted milk on Yom Tov. We didn't bother opening the container, you know, going to the fridge. We went straight to the source. Right? Went straight to not this pasteurization for us. We drank it straight. So Hechidami, the Gemara says, what was your case? Idi kasakana, people were dangerously ill and they needed the milk. So afilu b'Shabbos nami. So you could do that on Shabbos too. Why do you stress Yom Tov? And if there's no danger, then even on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to because of this mifareik action. Lo, tzricha di'igat sa'ara. The answer is, what we're saying is that they were in pain. They weren't in danger, but they were in pain. Ukasavar mifareik kilachar yadhu. And they said that drinking from the udder, like this, is a malacha, but it's with a shinui. It's an unusual way to do it. So that's why they allowed it. So they only allowed it, though, for Yom Tov. Shabbos di iser skila gazu rabbanon. Shabbos, you violate Shabbos, that carries capital punishment. So that they didn't permit, even though they were in pain. Yom Tov di iser lav lo gazu be rabbanon. Yom Tov is just a basic prohibition. So if they're in pain, they're allowed to do it. That's the third Gemara. Okay, so you have three Gemaras. Gemara number one that says that if you have two doses of chiltis and you don't have your third, you're in danger. So prepare the chiltis in an unusual way. That's number one, which we don't understand, but that's the first Gemara. The second Gemara says the person who is goneach, who is groaning, is able to drink from the udder on Shabbos because he's in pain. And that's therefore it's all right. And then you have the Gemara Nivamos, which says that on Shabbos they didn't allow it for people who were in pain. Only on Yom Tov did they allow it. So that's another problem, right? This contradiction, apparent contradiction between the two Gemaras. So we have two problems. Why is it that the person who's dangerously ill is not able to do the chiltis normally? And are you or are you not allowing drinking from the udder on Shabbos if people are in pain? So now we can see the Nishmas Avram. We are at Vav, on page Shinayin Vav. The Shulchan Aruch had written, you're allowed to soak the chiltis in cold and then put it out in the sun to warm up. That's your shinua, your unusual way, because he's in danger if he doesn't drink. So the Nishmas Avram writes, B'gemara mufa, hecha delo ishti klal. Hacha came in the ishti chamsho male shabsa ilo shasi b'shabes mystikin. It's a quote from our Gemara. that it's usur to do this on Shabbos if you didn't drink it all yet. However, if you've already had it, then on Wednesday, on Thursday and Friday, then if you don't drink, you'll be in danger. Adkan. Umedubar ba'adam shetzarech etzel yokra deliba. We're talking about somebody who has this yokra deliba condition. Uva Rashi, which Rashi explained to mean Shalibo Kaveda love. His heart is heavy in him. Vekosev Chidushe Haran, and the Ran wrote, Klomar Likeev Halev, meaning for heart pain. We don't know what that is. But he tells you, Ve'im Kain Medubar Alpikuach Nefesh. He says, we're assuming that that means life and death. When he says his heart is heavy, it means life and death. So lama yamutur lo adam shein lo sakana lishtos trufa b'shabbos. Kevin shikvar hitchil lakachtam lufnei haShabbos. He says, I don't understand. Why would a person who, he says, it has to be saving a life. Because otherwise, why would you allow someone who wasn't dangerously ill to take medicine on Shabbos that he started taking before Shabbos? Kidugma ish shalokachas trufa kadesh disaber achola migrena shalokach tipu miniyati lamachla shembo sakana. He says, we would permit it in the case that we talked about, the woman who's taking the medication so she can become pregnant, the patient with a migraine who's taking something preventive so the migraine doesn't develop. But he says, why would it be permitted here if not to save his life? Amnam, gam yesh lishol al ma shekosev marana shulchan aruch mutar lishroza b'tzonim b'lidno b'cham b'neshu sakana. He says, you also have to ask the question against the shulchan aruch, and this is our question, what the shulchan aruch is saying. He quotes the Gemara saying that you're allowed to soak it in cold and then warm it up because it's dangerous. Kosev Magen Avram, the Magen Avram wrote, V'ileka chama afilu b'ur sharim ne'a sakana. He says, what if you don't have a sun? What if it's cloudy out? What if it's cold outside? So then you use a fire, because he's in danger. Ad galashono, end of quote. Bitzarech iyun, im medubar al pikuach nefesh, if you're talking about saving a life, lama koseves ha-gemara uposek ha-shulchan aruch shemuter rak ha-yedei shinoi, why will they only allow it in an unusual way? So he gives you two answers. First answer, v'ulai tzarech lomar shesakana lav davka sakana gemura. Maybe what you have to say is that danger doesn't always mean the same thing. When it says danger, it doesn't mean real, complete danger. Elam it's the air b'choli shein v'sakana. He is in pain because he is ill in a way that is bad, but it's not danger. V'raisi b'im reyosha me'agon, or I think it's Moshe, but I don't know, Greenman, shekosei b'shem ha-sefer Torah Sirfael, shecholei gala magin Avram, umevi b'shem chidushi Ramban, Dagmar b'Shabbos ari be'eno sakana shel mamush ela de'ilo shasi la'ola mistikin. He says, I'll offer you a second approach. After cutting through some of the verbiage, Ramban has a different idea that what the Gemara is talking about is he is not in danger right now. However, if he were never to get the third treatment, he would be in danger. It doesn't have to be on Shabbos, but he has to have a third dose at some point. V'chein l'shon haritva, and so indicates the ritva. Adkan. So that's the idea, he says. So he needs to take it at some point. So we would rather he do it in an unusual way, and then we'll let him do it even on Shabbos. Mashakasav Imre Yosher b'shem Ramban. When the Imre Yosher says that Ramban said this. He says, that's actually what we have as the Rashba. And in parentheses, he quotes the Sefer Shem HaGedolim, who says that it's because the Rashba and Ksuvos is actually written by Ramban. So that's why there are two different versions of this. Vizela Shono, but this is the text that we have. He says, the Rabbeinu Hananel Kasav Kan, Haitzara Sakanai. Rabbeinu Hananel wrote here that when it says that he is in Sa'ar, he's in pain. Run Shinai and Zion. That's where the. Got it. Okay. So he says that Sa'ar is Sakana. It means danger. When it said, what he's talking about is the case of the nursing on Shabbos, which we said he's that they're able to nurse even though he's just in pain. So he says that's actually talking about in danger. In order to avoid a problem from the Gemara in Yevamos. Velo mil sehi. So this requires that I explain a little bit better. He's now invoking the last two Gemaras that we saw as a means of dealing with a problem. With our problem. our problem in Vav, Source Vav and Source Zion was that the Gemara in Ksuvos in Source Vav said that if he's in pain, he's allowed to drink on Shabbos from the udder, right? And in Source Zion, it said that only on Yom Tov. So what am I going to do? So the answer Rabbeinu Hananel gave to explain these two is that pain in Vav may actually mean danger. The word tsar may mean sakana. And so Rabbeinu Hananel said that is also going to solve that, we're going to borrow that to solve source hay. And to say that what we're talking about here with this Chiltus discussion, when we say danger there, we actually mean pain. Sometimes pain means danger, and sometimes danger means pain. That these words can actually get interchanged. That's what he says. V'yesh omrim, and some say, digoneach ika sakana em eno shosel olam. Then he brings the alternative view, which is our argument, that maybe he is in danger, meno shosela olam, if he never gets a dose. Kedamin in perak meruba, elo takana, elam ken, yonek chalav, etc. The kevin shekin, afilu shem, eno shosel b'shabas, eno mesukin b'kach, mutter. So even though he could just take it on Sunday and be fine, nonetheless, he's allowed to do it on Shabbos. We'll let him do it on Shabbos. This is a necessary dose, fundamentally. Just not a Shabbos necessary dose. Aval Hasam, but in the Gemara in Yevamos, about drinking from the animal on Yom Tov, but not Shabbos, that's B'chol Hashein Bo Sakana Klal, Afil Lo Yishta La'olam. That's a patient who is in no danger. And he can be fine if he never drinks. I'm racing through it a little bit in the interest of time, but what he's doing is just quoting the statement which is either the Rashba or the Ramban, which says that fundamentally what we are allowing in the regarding preparing the chiltis is because he's in danger, but not on Shabbos. Hypothetically, he could wait till tomorrow to take this dose. So we'll let him do it if he can prepare it in an unusual way. He is in sakana, they're not lying. But we won't violate Shabbos biblically because fundamentally he could take this dose tomorrow. Are we?
Doesn't that beg the original question, though? If he's a whole Yeshbo Sakana, then you treat him the normal way.
So we're saying he's not really considered Yeshbo Sakana because he could be treated after Shabbos. An example of this in a more normal case, because we're not used to Chiltus, would be, what if you have a patient who's going to need surgery, and like life and death, they're going to need the surgery, and you believe that, your expert opinion as a physician, is that they could wait till Saturday night. They don't need the surgery now. The OR is going to be available. Their condition is not going to deteriorate. We could just as easily do this Saturday night. So the question is, do I do it on Shabbos anyway? Because he's dangerously ill. And what they're telling me here is, you should not violate a biblical prohibition of Shabbos in order to treat him, because you could after Shabbos. But if it's only a matter of Drabbanans, then you can do it now, even though he could wait till after Shabbos. That's what we're saying here. That's what he's suggesting.
Wait, so the Gemara can use the same word, like, means to err, two different places mean, like, different things?
Correct.
Okay, that's
yes, that's annoying. Yeah. That is annoying. And then he continues with Tosfo, saying Tosfo says the same thing. V'kach kasva, Tosfo shagoneach lav b'sheyesh bo sakana airi, dim kein ma'iriya mishum dam mefraik al achar yad, afilo avim lacha d'arai, so shari makam sakana. He says Tosfo wrote the same thing. Goneach, the case of the guy who is moaning and he needs to nurse from the udder, that's not where he's dangerously ill. Because if so, then what shinoi will we be discussing? It can't be a shinoi case. Okay. Then he's going to bring us a third answer from the Ran, and then we're going to get to a summation. But the Ran is the third answer. He says, again, we're trying to answer, fundamentally what we want to answer is the problem of why this Gemara is saying to prepare the Chiltus in an unusual way. So one answer that we brought was, he's not really in danger. He's just in pain, and tsar and sakana can mean different things in different places. Our second answer was, he's in danger, but not immediate danger, and therefore we're saying, so don't violate Shabbos biblically. He could get taken care of after Shabbos. And now the Ran is going to give us a third answer. ra'isi b'chidushi aran shekosev. V'im tomar lama li shora b'tzodin u'manicha b'chama. The poshrin gufayu lishtri came in the mystikin. You're going to tell me, why should I soak it in cold and leave it in the sun? Just using lukewarm water should be fine. He's in danger. V'yesh lomar, we're four lines up from the bottom. V'yesh lomar dina chanami. You could say you're right. It's true. He says, since you could do it in the sun, better that than the lukewarm water, because if you can do it with a shinui, in an unusual way, you should. It's just giving you an ideal. He says, the fact that he's in danger is what's letting me do it at all. But if I can do it with a shinoi, I should. That's his argument. I'm not even going to go through the rest of the run. His point is, all the Gemara is doing is saying, do it in an unusual way where you can. That's his statement. Five more lines. Because the rest of his piece, for the next five lines, is going to be a quote of something we already saw earlier, Rav Shlomo Gluter. Laura,
it's just funny because when you think about it, do it in an unusual way. So it's like you're making this gesture that I'm doing it differently. So how much do you have to do to have fulfilled that?
Right.
So you're talking about even doing surgery or sending someone to surgery. So it's like, what do you want me to do? How many things do I need to do differently? So you're saying warm it up in the sun, which you wouldn't normally do. There's so many ways in which you could make it
right. Somewhat
different than your routine.
Right. So the answer
is silly. Like, does that?
Right. So the answer is that it depends on why you're doing with a shinui. Meaning, what they're talking about here is where there is a formula they carried out routinely during the week, and they want you to do the formula in some unusual way. So you're changing the order of things, or you're causing it to be warmed up in a different way. That's a shinui. Whereas the normal case of shinui is, I'm about to perform an action which is considered a violation of Shabbos. Let me do it with a different method that tends to produce bad results. That's usually what shinui means.
So, with your left hand,
back the back of your knuckle to hit the light switch or whatever it is, you know, that kind of a thing. I don't want you doing surgery with a shinui.
Right. So I'm just saying, how much is enough? So I've warmed it up in the sun. That's different. If I use a different container than I normally use, stir clockwise instead of counterclockwise, whatever. Like,
yeah.
How big is
those are shinui. Yes. I mean, we talked about this a little bit the last go around of this series from his introduction to Shin Chachez. He talked about what is a shinui.
Right.
But basically the answer he gave was something that is mechanically different and tends to produce inferior results. That tends to be what we accept as a shinui. But again, what the Ran is saying is this is only where you can change without harming the patient, without compromising the health of the patient. If a patient is dangerously ill, we don't want you using a shinui that's going to actually compromise his health. You know, if it's going to mean that you're stumbling around in the dark while you're trying to figure out how to turn on a light, no, that's a bad idea. So that's the thing. It's the Ron is walking a little bit of a tightrope.
It is, because on the one hand, you still want to have the quality result, but you want to have an appearance or even to yourself of doing it differently.
Correct.
But not too differently.
Correct. All true. So he sums up in the beginning of the paragraph in the left-hand column, V'yotzei lanu. What emerges for us is Shaladas harishonim shemedubra chola she'en bo sakana. According to those who say that this is someone who's not dangerously ill, right? Not like the Ran, in other words. Now you know why a patient is allowed to continue treatment on Shabbos. Meaning, because the Chiltis case is a case of continuing your treatment on Shabbos even though ain't bo sakana. Right? That was our point. So it's not even about the Ran. Sorry. These are the people who say he's not in danger. But if this is only because he's in danger, then kasha. then what's the justification for violating Shabbos to continue medication for somebody who is not dangerously ill? In other words, Chiltis, the Thursday, Friday, Shabbos Chiltis case, is our basis for permitting you to keep on taking medicine on Shabbos. So if you're going to tell me that the Chiltis case was a case of somebody who was not in danger, then it's a good source. But if the Chiltis case is specifically a case of someone who is in life or death, like the Ran, then how is this going to be my source? So then he goes on to quote the idea of the Mincha Shabbos, which was from Rav Shlomo Kluger, which was the idea that we have already talked about before, but he quotes it here all over again. But we've already seen it, so I don't think we need to, you know, to go see it again. But he brings an entirely different argument. As we've already discussed. So we are now at the end of Shin Chaf Aleph. Next week there is no Shir, as we said. The week after, I think we're going to end up doing this program on the suicide law.